clarity. And Father, with real revelation, Lord, bless her as she speaks and as she engages with the children as well during the talk. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm just going to start by saying I think we had a fundamental funnel problem over here. That's why we didn't win. Our funnel got blocked and I don't know. We had a funnel problem. So, okay, I am going to be speaking today on a parable. And in Matthew 13, Jesus is now teaching in parables. Now, what I like to do when I'm doing a talk for all age is to have some little things to bribe you into listening. So, I have some sweets. So the first question, Vicky wants sweets. The first question is, why in Matthew 13 is Jesus now teaching in parables? Can anyone remember? Oh. No adults can remember? Oh, Justine. Okay, I'm going to run to Justine.
Well, isn't it because he's teaching the wider audience, not just his disciples?
It's good. It's not the answer I'm looking for. Anybody else? It's good, but it's not a Haribo packet of sweets good. Anybody else? Oh, Zoe, we're not going to give any sweets out. Okay, he's teaching in parables so that people who really want to understand can understand. So it's confusing to other people because they don't really want to know who Jesus is. So they just want like wisdom and they want kind of knowledge, but they don't really want to know Jesus' heart. So he's teaching in parables so that the people who really want to know him will come to him and ask him to explain it, and he'll be able to explain it, and they'll learn some real truth about who Jesus is from them. So we're going to look at a parable today, and it's about tares among wheat. So can anybody first hand up tell me what tares are? Oh, we've got Leslie. What are they? Weeds. Okay, we're going to give Leslie a packet of Haribo. Run. Our first winner. So we're going to look at the wheat and the tares, and I always like to act it out, a little bit of a ropey acting out, but we're going to try and act out the parable so that everybody understands it. Because sometimes when it goes up on the screen, I'm a visual learner, so I like to see and not just read. So I would like some volunteers. Who would like to volunteer to be the sower? Now, Abigail's hand went up first. She's very quick. So you can come and be the sower. Who would like to volunteer to be one of the slaves? Great. A great slave. And number two here with the Star Wars top on. Great slaves. Okay, so can all of you, can you guys read? Yeah, well, should we move forward? And maybe someone could move my table forward while I'm speaking. No. So you are going to be the sower, so you need this piece of paper here, and you need to go around to the front there so everyone can see you. And yeah. And Abigail, you're going to have this bag here. Show the front, not the back, because it's a van's bag, so it doesn't really work. And okay, so we're going to tell the story, and these guys are going to help me. So if you go around to the front as well. Okay, so Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man," we're going to call that man Jesus, but in here, he's the landowner, "who sowed good seed in his field." So this is Abigail, and she's going to sow some good seed in her field. Oh, there's some seed in your bag. Great. What a great sower. I mean, I didn't predict that would happen, but there we go. Okay, that's enough seed. But while his men were sleeping, now hang on a minute. Where's my other slave? My other helper. I haven't got one. Zoe, go and pretend to be asleep over there. Oh, you have to lie down to sleep. Oh, dear. While his men were sleeping, an enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. I'm going to be the enemy because no one likes to be the enemy, so I'll be him. All right. That's why no one likes to be him. And then went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. So the slaves, get up, of the landowner came and said to him, okay, you're going to read the bit. Zoe, can you read? Come here. Okay, we'll have one slave reading.
Sir, did you not sow good seeds in your field? How then does it have tares?
And he said,
An enemy has done this.
The slave said to him,
do you want us then to go and gather them up?
But he said,
no, for a while you gather up the trees, tares you may uproot the wheat with them. 30 allow both to grow together until harvest, and in time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the trees and tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat to my barn.
Amazing. Well done, guys. Okay, you guys can sit down. Well done. So, in the parable, the sower is Jesus, and the good seed is, what's the good seed? His people, or the word of God. It can be his people, it can be the word of God. So, we're going to think about it as being his people, or anything that he is sowing in the world. And the bad seed, the tares, are the things that who is sowing? The enemy. Okay, an interesting fact to note, and I nicked this from Roger actually, but I didn't think he was going to be here, is that in Jesus' time, this was a regular way of defeating your enemy. So if you had a field and your neighbour had a field, you waited till they went to sleep, and then you went and put weeds in their field and you beat them because they lost lots of their crop by that. And in fact, in Roman law, it was a punishable offence. So it was a pretty bad thing to do. In the parable, the landowner or sower says that he will wait until the wheat is fully grown, and then he will get the reapers to separate the wheat and put it in his barn. We found out in that separating task, it's actually quite difficult to separate things. We were doing a really good job, and then I noticed a stray purple in our cup. So it's quite difficult. So we don't need to worry about it. We need to focus on us and our growth, because we're the good seed. And it says that when we are fully grown, then we'll be put into the barn. And that's where we want to be, because that's his house. So we're going to look at, how do all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, keep growing into healthy wheat? How do we make it into the barn here? In this confusing world where there's evil at hand, where bad things happen, bad things happen at school, in the playground, in our workplace, in the nation, in the world, how are we going to keep trusting in Jesus, having faith and keep growing, and not make any room for the enemy to increase his work in our lives? So we're going to look at three things now. There's some loads of sweets in here. And every time I say either, all the time, any time or every time, if you repeat it, if you're the first to repeat it, you're going to get some sweets. So Zoe is going to be ready. I'll give her the sweets. She can still sit with Mummy if you want, but you can have the sweets. Okay, so if I say all the time, any time or every time. Not yet, though. Not yet. But good. Good practice. Okay. So, point number one that we're going to think about in how we can grow to be wheat that gets put inside the barn at the end when Jesus separates everything out is don't be found spiritually asleep. It says in verse 25, what did the slaves do with the big Zs over their head? They slept. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. The kingdom of heaven has Jesus as the king, and he only sows good seed, like the landowner. But currently the kingdom is here alongside the world, so that means the enemy is working for evil and trying to sow bad seed to mix in with us, creating chaos if he can, and stopping our spiritual growth. So what things can make us spiritually asleep? Now, on your table, in a little bowl, there are some words, and if they're black and they have the number one on the back, bring them up. So if you can find one in your bowl that's black and has number one on the back, bring it up. Okay, wait here. So stand here. Oh, we've got a little one. Yes, yeah, stand here. Okay, so what things can make us spiritually asleep? Oh, that's blue. Take it back. It has to be black with number one on. So what things can make us spiritually asleep could be?
Work.
Yep.
Sport.
Family.
Friends.
Busyness.
Snapchat. It says Snapchat. They probably don't even know what that is.
Instagram.
Screen time.
Screen time and?
TV time.
Oh, hello, you just read it yourself. Bit cheeky. TV. Okay, so all of these things can help us to be spiritually asleep. So guys, we don't want them particularly, so you can just screw them up and put them on the floor there, because we don't need them. Yeah, screw that one up. It does say number one. Screw it up, just shove it on the floor over there. You scrunch it up, yeah. So do these things help us grow spiritually? Not really, not if we put them first anyway. All of these things distract us. Yeah, now go sit down. They distract us and they make room for the enemy to get in. So we're getting rid of them. And on your table, there are some little seeds, because when we allow things to get in front of Jesus in our lives, we're kind of helping the enemy to be able to sow more of these not so good seeds that will make tares. So feel free to throw one of them on the floor, because that's what we're doing. We're helping the enemy to increase his work if we're distracted. But what do we need then to make us spiritually awake? Seeing with our spiritual eyes and all the time speaking to Jesus. Who was that? I knew it would be Zoe. Yeah, Samuel was there. I wondered if anyone would be on it, Samuel. So, with our spiritual eyes, speaking to Jesus and working with him to ensure we're still growing and we're not making room for the enemy to come in and sow more seeds in our lives. So what helps us to do this? On your tables, you have got a blue word with a number one on. If you've got a blue number one, bring it up. Are they tempting? Number one, blue number one. Okay. Yeah, blue word with number one. So, Tom's got a lot of seeds. We have got things that are going to help us to stay spiritually awake and are going to help us grow. Now, I need one really, I think I might have Ethan. So it's good to pick on a youth that you know. Ethan's just going to be over here helping me. So Ethan, you're just going to hold this like this. Okay, so we've got some things here that are going to keep us spiritually awake and help us grow. And they are?
Bible.
The Bible.
Home group. Worship.
Pray. And?
Church.
And church, great things. And if we have these guys, we are going to put them in our watering can, because these are blue like water, and we're going to pop them in there. Pop them in. Good one. Shove them in. Pop them in. And my watering can has spirit and truth on, because, you know, why wouldn't it? And then we're going to come over here, because this is us, and we've been planted, and we look the same as the tares at the moment, because when we first know Jesus, we do look the same as him. But if we are watered with spirit and truth, these things that we've just thought about, then we're going to start to grow. So as I water, this bit's going to grow. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Just a little growth, but some growth nonetheless. Okay, guys, you can sit down. Thanks. I say. Okay, so these are the things that will feed us. And of course, if we're doing these things, we've still got plenty of time that we can do some of the other things. I'm not saying the other things are terrible, just saying if they take the place, if they're first in your lives, then you don't have much time for the other things, which are actually the things that are watering us and helping us to grow, because we want to be fully grown so that we can be in the barn. Thanks. This table are very helpful in the barn. So, we've slightly grown. That's number one. Number two is to hear what the Lord is saying and sowing and doing any time. Oh, David. He was ready. He was waiting for the number two. Go to David, quick. He's just on it. Shame for the kids, but you know. We've got two adults. So make sure we go to the Lord when we're confused by why there's so much evil in the world or so many bad things are happening. Because in the parable, in verse 27 and 28, it says, the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done it. The kingdom of heaven with Jesus as the king is only going to have good things sown by Jesus, because we know Jesus is good. The bad stuff is from the enemy, not from Jesus. If you could smile while you're being that wheat, that would be great. But what can stop us knowing this? Because sometimes when we have really difficult questions or difficult things that happen in our lives, no matter how much we know Jesus, we tend to go back to thinking certain things. So why is there so much sickness? Why hasn't this person been healed? Why is that person getting good things when they're really quite bad? And why do bad things happen to good people? Why didn't I get that toy I wanted for Christmas? Why don't I have the certificate for the best star of the week or whatever it is at your school? All of these things can make us question who Jesus is. Like, we ask, is he really good? Did he do this to us? Why isn't he stopping it? Why didn't he get me to be the star of the week? Why didn't he give me the things that I want? All of this is denying who Jesus actually is, because Jesus is love. So when we're questioning whether he's doing these bad things, we're not spiritually growing. We're not becoming more like him. Actually, we are stopping growing and, again, giving more room for the enemy to drop some of those seeds. If we don't go to Jesus or wait for the answer, then we grumble and moan and we don't believe in him. So if you've got a black word on your table with number two on, bring it up. Tom's the most eager on your table. Number two with black on. Yeah, we've got some different people. Yeah, he's down there. Oh, there's one of the enemy's seeds about to trip me up. Okay, so we should only have a few. So we've got grumble and
moan
and
Owen,
and Owen is holding unbelief, because Owen, we don't want to put Owen over there because Owen's really lovely, but guys, scrumple those things up and throw them over there. So just screw them up and put them on the floor, because they're not going to help us. If we don't go to Jesus or we don't wait for the answer because we get impatient, then we start to sometimes grumble and moan about God and about other godly people. And we add more of the same to the world that the enemy is already sowing. We don't grow, and also we keep it, give an open space for the enemy to sow more seeds. So how can we keep growing then? When we see things that are not good, or we're unsure if something is from God, then we need to go to him anytime. That was Tom and sorry. Close, guys. Whenever I look down, I lose my spot. He does have an answer, because the bad stuff isn't from him. But if we have to go to him to understand, we do have to go to him to understand and see what he's doing. He is our strength and our joy through the trials. So what we should be doing is number two, blue. Anyone got a number two blue? You're going to grow soon. Anyone with a number two? Okay, so we have got...
Believe.
Trust.
Trust.
Listen.
Prayer.
And prayer. Brilliant. Guys, can we put them in the watering can of spirit and truth? Because that's their water and brilliant. These are the things that if we're doing them, they're going to help us to grow. This is our water that we need, the Holy Spirit, to help us grow. So if Ethan, I think if you pull that bit down, it's a very ropey wheat, I know. But our wheat is a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger because we're doing the things that are going to help us to spiritually grow. And the third point is that we have to have a heart that responds like the King of his kingdom, Jesus. Every time. That was Vicky. Vicky Robinson, that was amazing. Don't you take to Vicky? Oh, Zoe's got them. Because it says in this parable, in verse 28b to 30, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them, allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn, into my barn. So how do we react when we see something unjust or evil or a relationship that we don't agree with or politics that doesn't go our way or when a colleague or someone who's above us does something irritating or when a teacher shouts at us and I wasn't doing anything or does something that we don't like in the playground? Do we respond in our own strength? Do we judge what is right or wrong? Do we decide what should happen, what should be pulled up?
No.
Well, I hope not. That's a great answer. So if you've got a number three, a black number three, can you quickly bring it up? Okay, we're going to go really quick because I'm really behind. Okay, ready?
Fight.
Fight?
Argue.
Argue?
Gossip.
Gossip? Any more?
Slander.
Slander?
Revenge.
Revenge?
Complain.
Complain?
Anger.
We had two angers. We are very angry. None of these things are any good, so throw them over there. And then go and sit down quick as you can. See, we might want to uproot the problem. We might think that our way is the best way. That if we tell everyone about how irritating things are, then they'll agree with us and we'll feel better about it and that will help the situation. But as we've seen in the game, it's too difficult to separate correctly. We don't know what's really going on. We don't know what's going on in people's hearts. We don't know that if we responded in a different way, they might not know more about Jesus. We have to respond in the same way as our King, because our main focus should be being children of the King, becoming more like him. So if you've got a blue number three, run up. There might not be one on every table, so don't worry. Okay, we're going to go really quickly because this is what we should be doing. If we're children of the King and we're following our King, we should be
doing good.
Pray.
Faith. Forgive.
Kindness.
Brilliant. Forgiveness, kindness. Pop all of those in our spirit and truth little watering can. A bit crowded in there because we're doing so much like Jesus. Okay, and then I am going to water. Oh, and pop it in. Thanks. I'm going to water, and then our wheat is going to grow and grow and grow. I know, right? Our focus should be these things, because every time we go to him, I snuck it in. Every time we go to him, we're living in the kingdom, following our King. And this is how he gets things done. Every time we act like Jesus, this is the whole, who was it, three of you? Three of them over here. We act like Jesus, we're working with him to change hearts and change our community, city, country, and we grow spiritually strong and healthy. So our wheat is fully grown. My conclusion is this. It's said in the bit before this parable that you will keep on hearing but will not understand, keep on seeing but will not perceive, for the heart of the people has become dull. Let's see, be spiritually awake, hear when we have difficult questions, listen to him, and understand with our heart how the king is wanting us to respond. And all the time, anytime, every time. I think that might be, who's it over here? Brilliant. Return to Jesus, as he is the only one who heals us and the only one who has the truth that can help us grow. And if you notice, there was one word that was mentioned in all three of the points, which was? No. There was one thing that we were doing that we were putting in our what? Yes, David. David gets another packet. He's on it this afternoon. Is to pray. Because in the end, Jesus is going to deal with any unjust thing. So we're going to respond. Have I got time to respond? I've gone over. I know, terrible. Okay, we're going to respond. And on your table, there is a piece of wheat. Because what we want to be from this parable, we want to be like this piece of wheat, which is fully grown. Yes, fully grown. Because it says in the parable, in the end, when Jesus sorts everyone, the wheat that is fully grown will go into the barn. So, on your piece of wheat, you are going to write one or two things that you are going to do this week in order to help you spiritually grow. They can be any of the things we've mentioned. They can be cutting some things out. For me, it will be less screen time and more Bible time. But you can decide two things, and then Andy is going to play for us. He might sing as well. And you are going to bring up your wheat, and you can, if you want, to choose to prophetically water it with the watering can. But what you're going to do is you're going to place it inside the barn as a prophetic statement that you are going to keep spiritually growing with the Lord. And you're going to focus on the things that are going to help you grow and less on the things that give the enemy space in your life to do any of his activity. So I'm going to pray for everyone, and then we're going to do that. Lord, I thank you that you help us, Lord, in every way, Lord, that we can grow continually with you, Lord, that we can grow every day to look more like you, to sound like you, to have your heart, Lord. I pray that we would be people who see and hear and have a heart like yours, Lord. And I pray that as we write these prophetic statements of how we want to spiritually grow this week, Lord, that you'd be with us, your spirit would be with us, filling us, Lord, and we would see a real change this week in our spiritual growth with you. In Jesus' name, amen.